Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way for you to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning, church. Everyone doing good? Yeah, we got a little bit of snow. Like, I feel like, you know, you're going up to preach, you got to mention the snow, right? It's like a Michigan thing, all right? Just get it out of the way. There it is. We all know. I don't know, do I say Happy Thanksgiving and then Merry Christmas? We're in that, like, weird 1 week before, you know, December starts tomorrow. I hope you ate a bunch. I ate way too much on Thanksgiving. It was fantastic. So much to be grateful for, but just truly, it's a privilege to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Noble, and I'm the Connections pastor at our Holly location. Also have the privilege of overseeing our security at all 9 locations. It's always good to be able to visit some other locations, and I just love hanging out with all of you here. I know that we are getting very busy, especially around here in Lake Orion, as the fellowship hall is being transformed. We got toys all over as Toys for Tots is in full swing. Many of you have been a part of that, and I just want you to know that I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for your heart as a church, for being willing to open up this facility to be used by the Lord. It's a chaotic couple of weeks. I know Elijah and I are talking every single day. Hey, we got so-and-so, you know, we got this place is dropping off, or this place needs boxes. And it's really a wild ministry that we've just, it's kind of fallen into our hands that the Lord is opening doors, that we have toys coming out of our ears around here. But what other time of the year do we literally get like thousands of people and children to just come to our facility, see where our facility is? We get to let them know that, hey, like, we love them, that these toys were sorted with love, that these toys were bagged with love. And at the end of the day, if there's anything we can ever do, they know that we are here to love them. And so I want to say thank you for being a part of that. And I would ask that you continue to pray for that ministry. If you ever have some free time, reach out to Elijah, reach out to Pastor Josh, be like, hey, you got any toys that I can sort or bag during this time of year? They have plenty, all right? Or you can go drop it off to some of our business partners down in Troy and Rochester. It's just crazy. And so it's an exciting time of year, busy time. And as Jules said, we are wrapping up the book of Romans today. And I don't know about you, it feels like this series has been years and years, but also it's gone by super fast as we've had 32 weeks that we have spent in the book of Romans. And I got to be honest with you, when I found out a couple weeks, I think like 2 weeks ago, Pastor Josh called and he's like, I'm going to this sporting event. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I don't know much about sports, but that's fun, man. I hope you enjoy. You know, he's going out to see his favorite team today. And so hopefully, I guess we hope they win for him. I'll give it to him. You know, it's exciting. He's with the whole family. So hopefully they get a win today, but hopefully they're covered in snow right now. That's what he gets. All right. I'm going to throw that in there. So we're wrapping up the book of Romans, and I don't know if you can adequately wrap up any book in the Bible, because I don't know about you, but you know, I was saved, sure, when I was a child. I was in kids' church, and I loved being around church, but it wasn't really till I was 16 when I was baptized, when I came to a true relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And since that time, I've just been in God's Word, right? Just continually in God's Word, and I'm always learning something new. I'm always seeing something new that the Lord is revealing to me, that He is showing me as He's working in my life, as there's so many different circumstances happen throughout my life. And so today, I don't know what the Lord has done over the last 32 weeks of your life. I'm not sure what has gone on with your family. I'm sure if we took a second and paused and you thought back to 32 weeks ago, right, which was just right after Easter 2025, okay, is when we began this series, I'm sure you could go through and maybe there were some rough months. Maybe there's been some loss these last 32 weeks. Maybe there was a job change. Maybe there was a new addition to your family, right? And grateful for that addition. Maybe there was some broken relationships, mended relationships through at that time, whatever it may be, but the Lord moving in those last 32 weeks of your life. And I would encourage you to reflect on that. But, you know, as we kind of wrap up the book of Romans, we're going to go through these some 27 verses. And I'm not going to cover every single verse. I'm not going to, because that would take forever. I mean, we could do another 3, 4, 5 weeks covering just chapter 16. But this morning, my goal is for us to just really take a step back and say, okay, God, what now? What are we going to do now that we've kind of closed the chapter on the book of Romans and we are moving forward? What does the Lord want us to learn from this? What has the Lord done in your heart these last 32 weeks as we've read through the book of Romans? What are you going to do now with what you have learned, with what you have read, with what the Lord has placed on your heart, how he has changed you over these last 32 weeks? What are we going to do moving forward? So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to begin there in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. So God, we come before you. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this time together where we can come and freely worship your name, where we can proclaim aloud the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. Father God, I thank you for the privilege to just take communion, to reflect on what your Son has done for us through his sacrifice on the cross and his glorious resurrection. Father, I ask that you would be with us this morning. Ask that you be with our pastor and his family as they're traveling, as they're enjoying a sweet family day, Lord. May they just have a great time, memories made, Father, and would you bring them back safely to us next week. And so, God, just be with us this morning as we just look forward to seeing what you are going to do in us as we move forward from this book of Romans. So, God, we love you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in Romans chapter 16 there. We're ending, and in verses 1 through 16, Paul, he begins and he lists off some 25 different names, and then he continues on there at the end in verses 21 through 23 with about a total of 33 names that Paul has in this passage of Scripture. He begins in verse 1, he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and myself as well. And then he lists off, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. And now I want to stop there because I love Paul's intentionality in naming off these specific brothers and sisters in Christ who are working for the cause of the gospel. They are working for what what Paul is preaching continually, what he is writing here in the book of Romans to the church in Rome, right? This is where he's writing to the church in Rome, and he's sharing with them, hey, you know, we've gone through the last 15 chapters, and he's called out a lot of things in these last 15 chapters. He comes out in verse 1, he just comes out swinging, saying that the our world is without excuse, right there, without excuse, calling out sin in our world's life, but calling out sin within the church, challenging them to observe that sin, to challenge that sin, to call it out for the cause of the gospel so that we may redeem our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And then we continue on, and we have Romans chapter 12, which, man, I'm just going to take a sidebar, and I would encourage you, Romans chapter 12. It's a sweet passage to me personally because I had the privilege a while back to go to a men's retreat and preach on that passage for a whole weekend. But you just talk about an outline of what it looks like to live for the Lord. Romans 12 just shows us what a godly life looks like as we are truly walking this out day in and day out in our lives. And what it looks like is the Holy Spirit just does a work and sanctifying us. And then a couple weeks ago, right, we talked about governing authority, right? And we had some local authorities at all of our locations. What a privilege that was to invite them here to this place, to honor them, to respect them, to pray for them, but to share the gospel with them, right? And maybe for some of you, that was a tough passage to remember, to give honor and respect, even when we may not agree. Right, and holding that line of a godly lifestyle, being obedient to the Lord in that, and honoring, respecting, and praying for them. And so here Paul is listing off, and he continues on. He's listed Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila. He goes on talking about Mary and Urbanus. I mean, you know, these are just so many names that we hear nowadays because they're such popular names to utilize, okay? And so he continues to list them off intentionally, sharing what they are doing for the cause of Christ throughout not only the church in Rome, but also I love, you know, how he calls out Priscilla and Aquila, and he says they risked their neck not only for Paul's life, right? They have sacrificed to save for Paul during his journeys, but also all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well because of them having a part in sharing the gospel to the Gentiles, to the churches there. And so, you know, when we talk about names, why is it important that Paul lists off these 25 names of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are heartily working for the cause of the gospel? Understand that he is not saying like, hey, they've done X, Y, and Z for Paul. They have done all these things for Paul's ministry. They've done all these things for the River Church's ministry. No, what are they doing it? They are doing it for the cause of Christ. They are doing it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus. And so I think it's interesting how it could be so easy for Paul to take a step back, and he lists off all these names, right? He could just easily say, he could say, hey, I want you to greet those who faithfully serve at our Lake Orion location. I want you to greet and thank those who faithfully serve in the coffee bar every single week. I want you to thank those who sign up to worship. I want you to thank the ones who cleaned our toilets. Right? That would be super easy because it's super general. It covers all of your bases, right? For maybe you missed a name here or there, and so you want to be cautious of that. I don't want to miss someone's name and leave them out of the team and thinking, no, he calls them out intentionally by name and thanking them. Why? Because names are important. Because it's important for us to name and thank people for what they do, to thank them, remembering our overall goal is the cause of the gospel. It was so funny. I was talking to Pastor Ryan this week, and him and I are usually at our Holly location together, but right now, at this very moment, he's preaching at our Flushing location. I'm preaching here, and then we have Pastor Caleb preaching in Holly, right? And so usually we're in Holly together, but we're all spread out sharing the gospel. We have the opportunity to do that. I was just giving Jules a hard time before the gathering, saying, oh, you're the new guy on staff, aren't you? Like, I forgot. I was like, yeah, he's the newest guy on staff that we got. So you got to give him a hard time, right? I don't know if you guys have given him a hard enough time, right? He seems like he's enjoying it a little. Like, we got to give him a hard time, okay? Right? But, like, intentionally naming our staff, we just saw Grant. Grant attends our Goodrich location, okay? And so many of you have probably never met Grant, but Grant is busy helping out with missions. He's helping out, and you may not know this, he helps Elijah and myself out with Toys for Tots, right? And so I love the beauty of this because as Paul is naming off these names, we could sit here and name off so many names of people who are serving the Lord, are serving for the cause of Christ, right? I'm thankful for our security team here. I'm thankful for John, even though he's probably sick of me calling him and texting him all the time, right? He keeps us safe here on a regular basis. And I'm grateful for, you know, I got Todd in Waterford. I got Brad out in Goodrich. I got Brent out in Grand Blanc. I got Brett out in Holly. And I get those two mixed up sometimes when I send a text message, all right? And it's just incredible. We have all of these men and women, faithful servants of the Lord across 9 locations who are serving the Lord, and we can know them by name. We can see them by name, and I think it's intentional and it's important for us, just as Paul names off them by names, that we should be intentional in getting to know one another by name, thanking one another by name, because names matter. If we go to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul is writing again. And I love one of the things that Paul does throughout many of his letters and his writings is that as he comes to a close with his letter, right? We all understand that when Paul was writing, he wasn't writing his letter, and he was like, and this is chapter 16 of my letter for you. Okay, right? That was added much, much later. We added all those verses and those chapters. And so reading through, these are letters meant to be read in one sitting. And what he does at the end of many of his letters is he will list off faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who are doing work. He intentionally names off names of those who are faithful to the cause to encourage them, to thank them, and to point the church back to those people and saying, hey, check in on them, thank them for me, greet them for me. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. You know what's amazing is that for those of us who have confessed our sins, who understand that we're not perfect, that we are sinners, that there's nothing good in us, that although we don't have everything figured out, although we're not living a perfect life because we never can, but if we call upon the name of the Lord, guess what happens? Your name is in the book of life. Your name is written in the book of life, meaning that you are sealed and that you will spend eternity with our risen Savior. And so Paul is reminding them at the church there in Philippi. He's saying that, hey, greet Clement. Be thankful for those companions who are serving because their names are in the book of life. Or coming up here on Christmas season in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, an angel comes and visits Joseph, and the angel says, and we read there in verse 20, says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Again, going back to Philippians 2, verse 9, we read, therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then finally in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, as Peter is boldly preaching the gospel, he's sharing with the Jewish people what is happening, right? And these are the people that have rejected Jesus, have rejected, right? Because in Acts chapter 4, we're past the resurrection. We're past Jesus' ascension. And so Peter and the disciples, they're now fulfilling their call of sharing the gospel. And in verse 12 in Acts chapter 4, Peter says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so why do I share these verses? Because names matter. Names are important. This is not something that I just wanted to quickly glaze over, and we can just get to the doxology. And the doxology here at the end in verses 25 through 27, it's real easy. We could spend the whole time there, and we're going to spend intentional time there. But in verses 1 through 16, Paul lists off all of these names. He takes intentional time to list off these names because names matter. You matter. And so I want to challenge you this morning, church, that maybe you do get coffee every Sunday and you have no idea who is serving you coffee. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I get coffee every week from you. What's your name? You know, I don't know about you, but we have this thing called Name Tag Sunday. We have it like twice a year. Some of you hate it. Some of you show up, you see the Sharpies and the name tags, and you're like, I'm not doing it. I'm going to watch online Sunday, right? You turn around, something happened, okay? I love Name Tag Sunday because there are so many people that I forget their names. I just don't have an incredible memory. I wish I did, all right? Haley and I were talking the other day and totally forgot the last time that we had fed our daughter. I'm like, I don't know. I think we just fed her 2 ounces. Maybe it was 4 ounces. I don't know. You know, we try to text each other, but, you know, baby brain is going on. And so I'm terrible with remembering things. But I love Name Tag Sunday because I get to know everyone's name. We joked in staff meeting. I'm like, I'm going to wear a GoPro on my head. And so I can go back during the year and I can zoom. I'm like, all right, that's what that person's name was, right? Just got a video. So everyone's name. But I love it because we get to know one another's names. And I want to encourage you to get to know the names of those who we do life with every single Sunday. On Wednesdays, at special events. We just had our worship night last weekend in Holly, and it was incredible. I mean, there were hundreds of people that showed up to worship and praise the name of Jesus from all locations. I love those events. I love when we do the fair. I love it. It gets a little hot, but I do love church at the fair, okay? Because we just get to come together as a church, do life together. We do a welcome time, okay? We get to know one another, encourage one another. And so names matter, and I want to challenge you to get to know one another's names, to be intentional about knowing one another's names, thanking one another for serving together, asking, hey, is there something I can pray for you this week? What is going on? Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we are called to stir up one another to love and good works. All right, how are we going to stir up one another to love and good works if we don't know each other's names? All right, and so I just want to challenge you. Names matter, and so make sure that you're intentional getting to know one another's names because, hey, we are so blessed to have 9 locations. We get to do life together across all of our 9 locations. You get to see some faces. You get to have some guest speakers come out who you may like, you may not like, and that's okay. All right, you get to see other faces across locations, so get to know names. And Paul continues. And he moves on from these greetings, exhortations, thankfulness for what ministries are going on amongst the church, amongst the people who are serving. And he gets into this section where he gives a warning. He gives a warning to the church there in Rome. Beginning in verse 17, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions, create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk, flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so right here, what Paul does is, again, as I'm remembering that this is a letter. Paul has written this letter. He's front-loaded, calling out sin. He's had so much theological dissertation throughout the whole book. But I don't know about you, whenever I come to the end of writing a letter, it's what I want that person to hang on to. It's what I want them to know. It's what I want them to remember because, hey, you may not remember what I wrote, right, like 4 or 5 pages ago, okay? But when I'm coming to an end, this is what I want you to take away. And so he takes that intentional time in the first 16 verses to thank those who are serving. But now he comes to a stern warning of the reality that there is false teaching going on within the church there in Rome. There are some who are maybe at some capacity at leadership. We're not fully sure at what they are doing, where they are, but there is this understanding that there is false doctrine being shared amongst the body there within the church of Rome. And so what is happening is Paul is calling out that false teaching, and he says, I appeal to you to watch out for those who desire to cause division. They're desiring to create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, what you have learned, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does he say to do to these people? Avoid them. Avoid these people who are causing this dissension within the church, who are desiring to cause this chaos. And it's very interesting because he points out two things. He says, first and foremost, they are selfish, they are prideful. They are trying to feed their own appetites, right? They are looking to themselves because that's what this person does. If someone comes up to you and they're trying to teach you something contrary to God's word, they're trying to set this point of doubt in your mind, in your heart about, did the Bible really say that? Right? I mean, we could take a step back and we're like, whoa, wait a minute. That sounds just like Genesis chapter 3 with Satan coming up to Eve and Adam and saying, what, did the Lord really say you can't eat of that? No, it's just that deception and trying to start that, making you doubt what God's word is saying. And Paul is saying, hey, we have to avoid these people and beware that they will come with smooth talk and flattery. They can be very smooth talkers. They can orate very well, and they can teach very well, and you may not even know that they are speaking this doubt into your life. You may not even see at the beginning this false teaching that's beginning to creep in from what they are saying. But he says to be on your guard. And so, church, I want to challenge us and encourage us to be on our guard. That we must always be on our guard with what is being said, what is being proclaimed, right? And that's from the top down. If anyone ever gets up here and they share anything contrary to this book, first off, get out of there, all right? If anyone ever gets up here and they preach anything other than God's word, run. If they preach anything except for Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, and his name alone through which we must be saved, then run. Get away from that false teaching. But also, we have an obligation as followers of Christ, as a church, to lovingly call that out, right? If we ever see that, it's not like saying, hey, I'm going to pick on Josh because, like, I don't want to pick out like someone else's name, right? I was going to say John, but I know we got a John. And so if Josh comes up and Josh is like, oh man, I don't really think that God's word says that. Like, you can get away with it. It's just a white lie. Or maybe you could just take that, right? It's like, whoa, what are you talking about? No, we're not called to do that, right? We want to call them out and say, hey, I love you. You said this thing. Is this really what you meant to teach? Is this what you really were thinking that God's word was saying in regards to sin or in regards to salvation or whatever it may be, right? Now, there are very clear things that are this massive circle. We look at doctrine, okay, and we had a book years ago called The Majors, and there's this massive circle of things that we're not going to break communion about, okay? Some of you are premillennial, some of you are amillennial, some of you are postmillennial, okay? Some of you are pre-trib, some of you are mid-trib, which that's pretty interesting. We can talk after. But, you know, and then, and so, right? Like, these are things about the end times that, guess what? God's word is not explicitly clear about. There have been people for hundreds and thousands of years saying Jesus is coming back on this day. And I love when they tell me that. I'm like, awesome. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hang out that day and get a haircut and continue my life because I know he's not coming back that day. Because we know that it says that we will not know the day or the hour, right? And so there are these kind of peripheral things doctrinally that we're not going to break communion about because guess what? We can have nice, deep theological conversations, give each other hugs, and say, all right, I love you, okay? And we'll find out one day and that thing will be answered. But then there are things that as we get closer in the circle, right, there are those things that we cannot compromise on. There are those things that we cannot compromise on as a church, right? The Trinity, We cannot compromise on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. We cannot compromise that God created our world. We cannot compromise that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect life, that he sacrificed his life for us, and it is only through him that we can be saved. We cannot compromise on the reality of a heaven and a hell, and that one day we will be split, our whole world will be split. Those who did proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will go to heaven. Those who do not confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will go to hell. That's a reality. That's the reality of a loving, righteous God that we must hold fast to, right? And so if we ever have teachings and discussions and people saying anything contrary to those in the center, those majors, right, then we need to have a conversation and call out that false teaching and say, hey, I love you. What did you mean by this? Because we cannot allow that false doctrine to take root within the body of Christ. Right? There's a veggie tale that I reference all the time and I love. It's called the rumor weed. All right? If you've never seen it, this is your homework today. Go home on YouTubes or wherever you want and check out Veggie Tales Rumor Weed. It is incredible. It shows you how one little rumor, one little lie, one little question, one false statement can create this incredible weed that just grows and grows and grows and destroys and just wreaks havoc, right? In the same way, Paul is saying, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Make sure that you call out this false doctrine. Make sure you're aware of this false doctrine, this false teaching that will try to creep up, because this is what Satan does. This is what Satan has always done since the very beginning. He's just tried to create that little ounce of doubt. He's just tried to create that little question in your mind or your heart, right? And so we just gotta find that weed, we gotta cut it out, right? And I intentionally say lovingly have that conversation, because you never know if that person is doing it maliciously or they just didn't even realize what they were saying and they just said it because maybe they were taught that years and years ago. And so we just have that loving conversation, because at the end of the day, our goal is to gain a brother and sister in Christ. Our goal is to come together as a church, as one in unity. And so be on our guard. Call out that. Watch out for that false doctrine, for that false teaching. And again, there in verses 21 through 23, Paul lists off several more workers in the Lord, naming them intentionally, telling the church to greet them, to thank them, grateful for what they are doing, right, and the work that they are doing for the cause of Christ, because they do matter. And then he gets to the doxology here. He kind of comes to an end. And I feel like this is a super classic doxology that many of us have heard. And there are several of them that Paul closes out his letters with that you have heard before. And so here in Romans 16, verses 25 through 27, Paul says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writing, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen." And so what happens here is Paul ends his letter and he's pointing back to praising the Lord. He's pointing back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, talking about the gospel that he is preaching. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that he is preaching about. Right? He takes a little, when we're reading there it says, according, right there at the end of verse 25, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writing, has been made known to all nations, right? Who is this secret that has been kept for so long? Who is the one that the prophets have written about? Who is the one that the mystery of the revelation has been revealed? That is Jesus Christ. We see him fully fully come into glory as he was raised again, right? And he ascended into heaven. We see that the coming of Jesus, his death on the cross and his resurrection, that is the revelation. That is the secret. That is what the prophets continued to point to, continued to write about, was the coming of Jesus for our salvation, for our world. Paul points back to who is able to give us the strength, not only for our walks, but for our daily life. It is our Lord. What is the teaching that we are called to proclaim? What is this message that we are called to share? It is the gospel of Jesus. And so, as we really come to an end here in this series of Romans, these 32 weeks, and there's so many different angles that we could go through, and I would encourage you, go back, and we have our app, and you can go on the website, and there's we have 9 locations. It means right now we're going to have 9 different sermons on what the Lord has placed on all those men's hearts, on what we as a church should gain after these 32 weeks, what we should have here as we come to this culmination of 32 weeks. And for me, I wanted to encourage and challenge us as a church to look back to the gospel, but to have something ready to go. To have something ready to go, ready in your arsenal, if you will. I'm sorry, I'm a security guy, so you know, you just got it in your arsenal. What should you have ready, prepared to go, to share with the world? And I want to go back to Romans Road. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, Paul wrote, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is where we must start when we have the conversation about the need for Jesus. We must have this starting point when we are sharing the gospel with your coworkers. If you have the opportunity to share the gospel with your family, you have the opportunity to share the gospel with your classmates, you have the opportunity to share the gospel with maybe your mailman or someone at the grocery store who you run into, who you see on a regular basis, and you've built this relationship, and they ask you questions, or maybe they're having a tough day, and they say, "Hey, will you pray with me?" Okay, where we must begin when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that there is nothing in us that could ever attain heaven. There is nothing within us that could ever buy our way to have our name in the book of life. No, because we are all fallen sinners and we miss the mark. And then we continue on in Romans 6:23. We read, "For the wages of sin is death." Right? We have to understand that not only are we all sinful, that we are fully depraved, as the theological term is. But we understand that there is a consequence for being a sinner. There is a consequence for our brokenness in our world. And that is the very reality of death. That death will come, and that ultimately, if we do not turn from our ways, if we do not turn from sin, if we do not turn from our world, hell is very real. And that is where we will end up if we do not call upon the name of the Lord. That's why the second part of Romans 6:23 says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So we understand sin. We understand that the payment of sin is death and ultimate eternal separation from the Lord, from our Creator God, and that is hell. But God loved us so much that what did he do? He sent his Son Jesus Christ. He sent his Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, to pay the payment that we could never pay, so that we are no longer covered by our sin, but we are covered, right? That's what communion is about. We are covered by the blood of Christ, his sacrificial blood, his body that was broken for us, so that we now go before our Heavenly Father and we are redeemed and we are reconciled because of Jesus. And then what happens is that once we understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we are called in Romans 10:9, says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. That is it. You don't have to come and you don't have to serve, 49 weeks out of 52 in a year. You don't have to come and you have to pay, if you pay the full, if you give 10% of your tithe, or man, maybe if you give 50%, or hey, you get behind power of three, those things are all good, but that's a work of the Holy Spirit doing a work in your life through sanctification. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we then desire to do those works. We desire, right? It's stirred up in our hearts to serve, to give back, so that that message of the gospel can continue to go forth from this place. But all we must do is confess Jesus is our Lord, and you will be saved. You can take that guarantee with you forever, and you will be in eternity with everyone else, all of our other brothers and sisters in Christ who have called upon his name. That is a guarantee. You are guaranteed eternal life if you simply call upon his name. Like last week, I had the privilege of doing a funeral, and it's something that has been a part of my ministry that I never expected I would have the privilege to do. And all funerals are tough. This was a tough one because I was dealing with a son who had lost his mother, who had cared for her for 3.5 years, and so he had gone through seeing her just slowly deteriorate and ultimately pass away, and so working through and just trying my best to love him, to love his family, to be there to encourage him, to pray with him, and so we show up at the cemetery, and usually when you go to a graveside, you have the urn, you have the plot, and then, the pastor, whoever's officiating will stand near the plot, and then everyone kind of sits in front of that. That's just kind of normally how it goes. Well, I show up, and everyone's in a circle. And I'm like, all right, we're just all in a circle here. And I'm like, hey, if everyone wants to, nope. We're family. We're just going to stay in a circle. I said, awesome. I love that we're family here, right? And so I just begin, and I open it up and prayer and thankfulness to the Lord for her life, but also pointing back to the Lord during that time of prayer, because he is the one that we find hope. He is the one that we find peace. And many got up and shared a few words and some laughter, and it was amazing. Her favorite movie was Sharknado. And that was a first for me. I've never been to a funeral where they're like, she loves Sharknado. And I was like, all right, Sharknado it is. And so that was incredible. And then afterwards, I opened up to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, Jesus is prepping his disciples because he's about to leave. And he's saying, where I am going, you cannot come, but I go to prepare a place for you, that I will come and take you to myself. And Thomas speaks up and he says, Lord, how do we know where you're going? How can we get there? And Jesus lovingly goes to Thomas and he says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the gospel. That is the simplicity of the gospel. That is the amazing work of our risen Savior, that we must simply confess him as our Lord and Savior, and we will be saved, that we get to go enjoy the place that he has prepared for us. So my challenge for you this morning, as we close out Romans, as we close out here in Romans chapter 16, I want to challenge you to take that beautiful, powerful yet simplistic gospel message of Jesus Christ, to commit it to heart. I want to give you some homework, church, that, yeah, you would memorize Romans 3:23, that you would memorize Romans 6:23, that you would memorize Romans 5:8, and that you would memorize Romans 10:9, that you can take that with you everywhere you go, that you would commit it to memory, that we can take that gospel message whenever we have an opportunity, that that the Lord creates for us to simply share his love, to simply share his word and the saving grace of our heaven, of our Savior Jesus Christ, to those who are lost, who are broken and hurting, and they come to you and they ask you, "What do I do?" They tell you that they are without hope. They tell you that they are lost, that they are seeking. And you can tell them, "Man, I know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life." And all you have to do is confess him, the Savior of your life. It does not mean, and I shared this with all of them surrounding, as we were just out at this graveyard and we were surrounding this plot, I told them, "Look, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to memorize all 66 books. You don't have to leave this place and be a perfect saint the rest of your life. You're not going to leave this place and you're not going to sin no more, because guess what? We are still sinners. We are still broken. But you can know the way. You can know the truth, and you can have an incredible life if you simply confess Jesus." That's where we must begin. And so as we just close out Romans, that's my challenge, that's my heart, that's my desire for us as a church. That yes, we be on our guard. That we always be on our guard for false teaching, for false doctrine, for those who desire to come into the body and create chaos and create deception and to create anything other than the truth of God's word. That yes, we would be intentional about knowing one another's names, because names matter. Your name matters. That we would be intentional to stir up one another to love and good works, praying for one another by name, encouraging one another by name. But as we walk away from this series, that you would be prepared, that you would be equipped to share the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul was preaching, the gospel that Paul stood in, the gospel that Paul wrote this whole letter for the church in Rome, for us. That we would understand that we have all sinned. That we understand that the wages of sin is death. That we would remember, though, that God so loved us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. That if we confess him, our Savior, that we are guaranteed eternity with our Heavenly Father, with our risen Savior, and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you, church, and I hope that as we go away from this place that we would do that. That we would boldly proclaim his gospel, that we would stand on his word, that you would be encouraged, that you would be equipped with these four passages of scripture alone, and know that that's all you need. That's all you need is the truth of the gospel, and allow the Lord to do the rest. Allow him to do the work in that person's heart, because he will. But for us, that we'd be prepared, that we'd be equipped, and that we would leave this place standing firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, church? God, we come before you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for such a sweet time. I thank you for a time of just going through this series, Lord. I thank you, God, that you loved us. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, Father. And God, we don't have it all figured out. God, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. You know that we are broken sinners. But Father, I thank you that through Jesus, we are reconciled, we are redeemed to your throne, Father, that we are called your children. God, for those here this morning, Lord, who may be unsure, God, may they know that it truly is as simple as calling upon your name. And you will help us figure the rest out. That there's a church body here that will help us figure the rest out one day at a time, one step at a time. But it really does simply begin at just confessing that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, may we commit those verses to memory. God, when you give us those opportunities, may you bring these passages of scripture to mind, that it would not be about us, but it would be for your glory, Lord, that we just share the simple, beautiful gospel of your son, Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that we could have life. God, I thank you for this time. I ask that you be glorified. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.